Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jason Ophir from Beyond the Edge of Reality, and you are listening to Paranormal Horizons. We will cover everything paranormal, including ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, and yes, even dreaded demons. So stay tuned.
Hello, everybody. This is Jason Ophir, and welcome to the debut show of Paranormal Horizons.
And I'm Pat Rice. How are you, Jason?
I am doing fantastic. I want to give a big thanks to you for electing to co-host the new show with me. I'm really excited about that.
I know. You know, Jason, I am too. I've been off the radio for a while. As you know, I did post a show with Dave Harms called Super Unknown, and it's just a pleasure to be back on the airwaves and, hey, you know, talk to some very interesting people. And gosh, I think the show tonight is kind of a Bigfoot episode.
It's completely a Bigfoot episode. And you know, for the listeners out there, we are actually doing something a little bit different. For our second segment this evening, we are going to do something that we call paranormal parody. We made this up. And basically, it is to take a little bit of the stress out of the paranormal world, the paradrama. And we are going to do kind of a mock interview, and that'll be exciting. And I know we also have a great first guest that I know Pat is itching to tell us about.
Yes, let me go over that. And I love the paranormal parody thing, Jason. So awesome. But our first guest this evening was a gentleman by the name of Larry Freeland. And, you know, this guy has just a ton of great experience. He's the owner of Lost Trails Trading Post in eastern San Diego, California. Beautiful area for some of you who may have been there, but for those of you who have not, need to check it out. And he's had a very long time interest in the Old West and its culture. He really lives the true cowboy way, and he's been a horseman, I mean, my gosh, all of his life. And he's also done some other reenactments of Old West and the lifestyle. This guy, and I do know Larry personally, I'm sorry I said this guy again, Larry. Larry, he looks like Wild Bill Hickok, and he's been on the History Channel doing a fabulous series called Wild West Tech. That was a few years ago, but sometimes you can still catch it on the History Channel. And he's done some other Hollywood productions, commercials, and mostly independent films. And that is what we're going to talk to Larry about tonight, Jason. He's made this fabulous new film called Mountain Duel. Now, you're probably wondering, everyone out there, how does that tie in with Bigfoot? Well, this is a great story about Bigfoot, and I am not going to be the one to talk about it. We're going to get Larry on here in a couple of minutes, and he's going to tell us all about the story. It takes place in the 1830s, and yeah, Bigfoot is a big part of the movie, and it is an independent film, Jason. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I love independent films.
Yeah, I totally do. There's some pretty great films out there, some pretty scary ones that I enjoy that are independent. One is called The Oregonian, and if anybody hasn't seen that, watch The Oregonian, because I swear it'll give you nightmares. But it's one of those independent films. But I was also going to say, you know, this guy sounds like an amazing horseman, and you might not know this, Pat, but I actually was a horseman at one time. I was actually a farrier, you know, those people that hammer the steel shoes on horses.
Really?
I know horses pretty well.
Well, that is something I did not know about you, so you can appreciate that. And You know, it takes a big commitment to be a horseman and take care of your horses. And, you know, Larry lives the lifestyle, and he's got a really cool place down there in Southern California where I understand they did some of the filming of this independent movie, Mountain Duel. And just before we get Larry on, Jason, I wanted to mention our second guest is going to be Dick Hartigan. And he has some amazing Bigfoot story, which I don't even know the details. So we're going to be hearing from this very fine gentleman, right around the 7:30 hour.
Yeah, it should be around 7:30, give or take. Now, I did talk to Dick earlier, and I don't want to give away too much information on what he's going to discuss. I will say that the listeners are definitely going to want to stay tuned for that because, from what I understand, his experiences are pretty amazing, and it'll definitely be an outstanding interview, from what I know about it already.
Okay, well, and hey, Jason, before we get Larry on, I wanted to mention to everyone again, you know, thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Horizons, where we're going to be broadcasting every Tuesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you've missed some of the show or part of the show where you just want to hear it again or tell someone about it, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to the archive of the show.
Yeah, and also remember that we do have a chat up and that you can go directly to the chat by visiting www.beyondtheedgeofreality.com. I know that's kind of long. It's a lot of letters in there. But, yeah, beyondtheedgeofreality.com, you can, the chat is on the main page, so you just put it in to URL and you'll see the chat room right there. I'm looking at it right now, and we've got a decent amount of people in chat right now.
Yeah, so that's live right now. Anybody who's listening, feel free to get into that chat. You don't have to. We're just happy that you're here with us this evening.
Absolutely. So looking at our dashboard here, and we do have a number that is called in. But interestingly enough, it's all ones. And whenever you see all ones in a phone number, because I Googled this one time, and it's like a spoof number. So that's got to be Larry. What do you think? I don't know.
I don't know either. is Larry in the queue?
Yeah, no, he's in the queue. It's just the phone numbers are all ones, which is interesting.
That could be freaky. I mean, you know what? Anything could happen on this show, Jason. I mean, there are unknown forces all over the planet. So there could be some sort of, you know, message trying to get to us. But what the heck? I think it's time to talk to Larry.
Well, I think it's also creepy because for the last 3 or 4 years, every time I look at the clock, it says 11:11 whenever it's 11:11. Now I'm looking at the dashboard and it's all one, so I'm now freaked out. But I think you're right.
Jason, it's okay.
I'm going to click it right now, and I'm going to try not to freak out too much.
Okay, just take a deep breath.
Hey, Larry, you are live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
I'm fine. Hello, this is Jason, I suppose.
It is. We were a little mystified because your number came across as all ones.
I heard that, and that's not how I dialed it. I don't know why it came up that way.
Well, stranger things have happened. How are you, Larry?
I'm good, and I want to thank you both for having me on your very first show,
Well, we're really honored to have you. And just for the listeners out there, if you're just tuning in, we've got Larry Freeland. Larry is the star in this independent film that's just been made, Mountain Duel. Now, Larry, I want to get into a couple details about the movie just to kind of go over the story briefly. If you would not mind sharing that with us, I know it takes place in the 1830s, and, you know, man becomes prey to Bigfoot in your movie. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes. The main character is Silas Jones. He's a fur trapper in the 1830s. He ends up at a remote mountain outpost. And his presence sets off a chain of reaction of jealousy and murder. Yeah, he was framed for the death of one of the villagers. He barely escapes back into the safety of the wilderness. However, these mountains harbor a secret that turns his life into a dark nightmare, haunted only known by the local trappers as the Wendigo. And that's how the story begins, and I think everybody's going to love this movie. It's been received very well from the audiences we've had a chance to show it to.
I was going to say, is the Wendigo, I've heard that name before, is that another name for a Bigfoot?
Yes, it is. It was a Native American name for the Wendigo. And, of course, there were different ideas about what Wendigo was. Some said it was a spirit. Others thought it was a Bigfoot, which they had seen out there. And, yeah, that's basically what Wendigo was.
Now, Larry, in the movie, you know, that's set in the 1830s, and you play Silas.
Yes.
And so, and these series of events set off something happening with Wendigo. I don't want to give the story away, but what happens? I mean, can you kind of tell us, like, is it it kind of sounds like he's after you. And everybody out there, I have not seen the movie yet. I've seen some trailers for the movie, and we'll let you know later on how you can also view those trailers of the movie and get more information. But can you give us any kind of hints of what happens?
Well, after he escapes into the mountains, and he ends up with a posse chasing him for what happened at the village or the remote outpost that he was at. And in the middle of the night, he gets accosted by Bigfoot and drug off into the mountains. And the story kind of takes off from there after, of course, what happens in the outpost. And it's very interesting. As you say, I can't give away too much of the movie yet. I'm really hoping everybody has a chance to enjoy it fresh, you know, with a whole outlook without too much information. But
absolutely,
I think everybody's going to love, like I said, love the show. We put a lot of effort into it. We filmed it over 3.5 years ago. We had some snags along the way. We had to bring in a brand new editor and almost start over. We originally wrote this movie in flashbacks, so you were going back and forth from the past to the future. And it wasn't working for us. So we ended up, one day, one of the guys said, well, we got all the footage here. Why don't we just run it straight forward? So we went ahead and did that, and it turned out to be a wonderful movie that way, and I'm glad we actually had that input for us to move forward in a different way. The flashbacks were actually a little confusing to some people because I would be in one place and then back into another, and people were going, what had just happened? Where'd you go? You know, and so
we
rearranged the whole thing, and we finally crossed the finish line with this film. We're done with it. Now we're actually trying to get up enough funding to get the marketing on it proper. And so we're working on that. And since we get that, it'll be out in the public hands.
Absolutely. And, you know, Larry, that's part of the creative process. You know, like you talk about, you thought it was going to be kind of more flashbacks and so forth. But, you know, musicians, artists, you know, movie makers, actors like yourself, you know, sometimes it takes a while to get it right. And it sounds like you took your time and you guys got it right. Now, so it sounds like you're one of the writers with some of the other
guys
as well.
Okay. Christopher Spoto was the main writer. And then Chris Hostel and myself jumped in as I said, it progressed, and we got 3.5 years down the road here, and we had it because we changed it all around. We actually did a reshoot a couple times, and that required a lot of new writing, of course. And we brought in a narrator over the top of the movie, so that took a lot of writing. And we're real happy with what, you know, we did and bringing it to that point.
Oh,
and
you must
and
be
the Bigfoot
so excited.
We used. What a yeah. guy. The man was 6'10" and made a very good Bigfoot. And, I think you're all going to love it. But.
Well, now, hey, let's talk about Bigfoot a little bit, you guys.
Okay.
Now, Larry, I saw on Fox News, Jason and I talked about this offline a little bit, that they actually have now discovered real DNA of Bigfoot. What's your take on that? I mean, do you believe in this hairy man?
You know,
I don't.
After making this movie, the more we worked on it, the more I believed. I had the opportunity to be out in a lot of the different mountains and locations that we shot this. And you can see when you're out there that there's so many places that they can actually hide. You know, I found this very interesting, that the giant panda was once as elusive as Bigfoot. It took 60 years after one was first spotted to capture. So elusive,
wow.
Never photographed in the wild until 1982. So, you know, and you know how many people there are in China, and my goodness, that thing was able to hide all those years.
Pretty
so
amazing.
I totally believe that they could be out there, and this new evidence from the Erickson Project that you were talking about on Fox News, Dr. Melba Ketchum from Kentucky was on Fox News, and I happened to catch that story, and it just further gave me more confidence in my idea that, yes, they're really there.
Well, I believe, Jason, did you say you didn't believe?
I'm a big skeptic, and I'll tell you why. And I think that Larry brought up an excellent point with the pandas. I wasn't aware of that. I would have thought that people have been known about pandas forever. But the reason that I'm skeptical about Bigfoot, feet, whatever, is for just the lack of evidence. And what you have with the advent of modern technology is a bunch of fake videos, people with gorilla suits, people saying, I shot a Bigfoot and it's in a freezer. I mean, it's the whole Bigfoot thing is so, it's just like the UFO thing. I don't know what to believe. I'm just really discouraged by all the fakeness of everything going on out there.
Sure, I'll tell you, you know, anytime you have anything like this, you're going to have so many people doing pranks on it. You know, it's just going to, and especially all the years he's been, her and him, Bigfoot, have been talked about, you do. You have a lot of pranks, and you see a lot of photos that, you know, maybe don't really look right. They look like a rubber mask or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I believe, you know, they've just learned to stay away from humans. Humans are not always the nicest thing out there in the woods. And it's like the bighorn sheep. They can be right there in front of you on a mountainside and you can't see them. Or a snake in the grass. They can be right there and you may walk right past them. And, you know, I can't say that they're not there. I want to believe, and I do believe, that they are out there. I think they actually I think they go up to the high mountains, and we did represent this in the movie. They have spots in the high mountains with caves and places they can hide at night.
Okay,
or I believe
sure.
that they come out at night, but during the day they hide. And I think that from what this actual study that Melba Ketchum talked about was they bury their dead. So you don't find bodies. You don't, you know, or they have places in these high mountain caves where maybe they lay them to rest. But I right at this point, I am a believer, and I'm going to continue that until may be proven wrong or proven right. And I believe this DNA thing was a big step forward.
I do too, Larry. And when I was reading through some of the information from Dr. Ketchum, they also sort of identified some areas that they believe there are, you know, larger populations of the Bigfoot culture, if you will. And one of them was in the Sierra Nevada mountains, a lot in the western U.S., central Florida, and also they talked about the Ohio River Valley. So, and I've, you know, just throughout the years read different things, especially in the Pacific Northwest, because that's where I live, where, you know, folks have said, you know, this happened or that happened and so forth. And I'm with you that, you know, a Bigfoot, they're like a deer or they're like a wild animal, so almost, where they know how to hide from people.
Mm-hmm. They don't trust them, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know that movie or TV show, Finding Bigfoot?
Yeah.
I've seen on there before, they've shown maps of reported sightings, and they're all over the world. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's been sightings and sightings, and there's so many times that, you know, you may, okay, that one's fake. That one's got to be fake. But then there's so many of them, too, that the stories are too real, and the people, you can tell by looking at their the way they're talking and what they're saying about it, that they saw something. In their mind, it was real.
Exactly.
They're not making this up. In fact, yep. I had a gal that's a horseman, a friend of ours, and she was in my store, and she was talking about the movie with me, and then she looked up and goes, well, do you believe in him? And I said, yes, mm-hmm. I do. And she goes, well, good. And she swore to me that she saw a mama and her baby. And
really?
Again, eye-to-eye contact with this lady, and just listening to her story of where and why and what, I believe she was telling the truth as she saw it. There was no,
yeah.
She wasn't making this up. It was something in her heart that was real.
Now, was that also in the San Diego area?
No, actually, I believe it was in the Sierras where she saw it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, which is, that's a big sighting area, you know, Mount Shasta and all that area.
There's a lot of high mountains out there, you know, and a lot of country that man doesn't go, you know. They get up in there and like I said, they're you know, they don't want to see us any more than, well, we would like to see them, of course, but they don't want to see
yeah.
us. So.
Everybody wants to see a Bigfoot, but thank goodness, you know, I dread the day a Bigfoot gets captured, because you know what we like to do to, you know, we like to put animals in cages, and I just can't stand that. But I do want to get back to the movie a little bit, Larry.
Sure.
Thank you for sharing your views on Bigfoot. Jason, do you have anything else to add on Bigfoot before we talk a little bit more about the movie?
Well, you guys, or Pat, you mentioned that the DNA thing. I must live under a rock, because I have no idea anything about the DNA thing, but we can come back to that later after our guests, and you can kind of inform me on what this whole DNA thing was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can actually pull it up online. The Erickson Project out of British Columbia, and in line with the Sasquatch Geno Project, and that's
right.
where they took lots of samples, and they tested them. A lot of times when they do those tests, they'll do them one time, and they did all these samples three times and in many labs, and came up with the same thing that, well, this is not normal. And I believe what I heard was they said it was part human and part primate, which of course makes some sense. And they thought that over 13,000 years ago, somehow they got together and created this, the Bigfoot. So anyway, when you can all pull that up and look at it, it'll give you a big inspiration of you know, maybe or maybe not in your own mind. But I found it very, very interesting story.
Well, that settles it then. Well, I guess Bigfoot exists.
That's what they're saying.
I'm wrong.
That's what the Geno Project is saying. But
Well, now, Larry, getting back to Mountain Duel, the movie that you've just completed after 3.5 years of creative work with you and your colleagues, where can folks find out more about getting their hands on this independent movie? Because it is independent. You're not going to go, you know, to Regal Cinema and see it. It's an independent movie, but where can they find out more information?
Well, right now, if they want to go to YouTube, they can pull up YouTube Mountain Duel, D-U-E-L, and there's a teaser on there. We don't call it a trailer yet because it's not finished, it's not sold. You know, you have to have it out there to call it to be a trailer.
Oh.
But anyway, it's a teaser, and then we also have a promo going right now. And you on YouTube, Mountain Duel, you'll be able to see the teaser and the promo. Now, the promo is actually on Indiegogo, which is a crowdfunding site. And if you go to Indiegogo, which is I-N-D-I-E-G-O-G-O, Mountain Duel, you'll see our promo site. And what we're trying to do there is we filmed this whole movie ourselves. We put everybody put their heads together and their money together, and we made this movie. And now we're finished, but we want to get it out there. And in order to get marketing, we figured, well, let's try one of these crowdfunding sites and see if we can build up enough funding to print, you know, a couple thousand copies and just try to get it out there better. And of course everything's money, you know, if we could get the funding up a little more, we can get it out there quicker and out there to more people. So that's kind of where we're at. There's also a Facebook site right now where we have a lot of still pictures from the movie, and that's Facebook Mountain Duel the movie. So they're all a little different. Indiegogo is Indiegogo Mountain Duel. Facebook is Mountain Duel the movie, and YouTube is Mountain Duel. So all of those are ways to take a look at what we've got out there right now for the public. And then, of course, hopefully soon, we're all anxious to get this out for everybody to see. It's real fun. I've seen a lot of Bigfoot movies that were actually filmed about the same time we were filming. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it, but there was several different ones were coming out. And a lot of them I wasn't really that happy with. They were, like Jason says, they were a little more rubber-faced and too much craziness going on and just didn't feel real. Ours has a real good feel to it as far as reality, and based in the 1830s. It's a really fun movie. All the props you're going to see, all the costuming is just incredibly done.
Well, you know, Larry, that's what I was going to say. I wanted to reiterate to the audience that, you know, whether you believe in Bigfoot or not, this is just a great movie to check out, especially if you like that era, the 1830s and the horsemanship that's going on in this movie and the beauty. It's really just a great show. And one thing about the Indiegogo.com, Larry, because I checked it out, is that's where also someone can pre-order a copy of the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what better way to help out, you know, independent filmmaking, which so many of us love, you know, check out Indiegogo.com, IndieGogo.com, and also YouTube Mountain Duel. Just search for that, and you can pull up the YouTube teaser for the movie. And again, Facebook Mountain Duel the movie.com. Larry Freeland, thank you so much, the star of Mountain Duel.
Thank you so much, Larry.
You know, for being with us this evening.
Real quick, on that Indiegogo, we offer perks. That's how they do it. And
okay.
What it is for different amounts of contribution, you get different perks. So for the lower end, you will get a copy of the movie and a recognition on the credits in the movie. And then as it builds, all the way up to our biggest amount, you can actually have an evening out in the mountains down here in San Diego. And at one of the cabins, we filmed that with some of the mountain men, and they'll play music and tell stories around the campfire. And it'll be a lot of fun for people if they decide.
Well, but Larry, what is the cost to, have an evening with Bigfoot?
I hate to even say. That's our most expensive one.
Oh, okay.
And maybe I should leave that to the individual to look it up on our Indiegogo.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, you know.
Buddy.
We'll ask our next guest who just came into queue if he can arrange
okay.
for you to go out and spend some time with Bigfoot a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, very.
So, Larry, thank you again. And everybody, be sure, again, Mountain Jewel, the movie, check it out. And also you can listen to the archive radio show here of Paranormal Horizons if you missed any or part of this show. Larry, have a great evening.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Jason,
thank you so much,
it's
Larry.
A pleasure. Pat, a pleasure. And it's always nice to talk to you, Pat. And
you too.
Thanks again.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Jason. So,
Well, I guess I feel stupid now because you're telling me that they mapped the Bigfoot DNA. So I guess
I know it. And I know you and I talked on that briefly earlier today, and I guess you thought I was kidding, but no. I mean, they believe that they've gotten real DNA from some saliva from food traps.
Well,
so,
then that means that Rick Dyer might have actually shot a Bigfoot. They're real.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, well, gosh, that was, I can hardly wait to see that movie, though. You know, I love that whole Western era and, you know, horses and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, I do, too. That's, I can't wait to, you know, watch it. I think it'll be pretty cool. Like I said, I was a horseman for a while there, and I'm all into the old 1800 kind of thing, and I think I would have enjoyed that time. A lot less technology and a lot more hanging out in nature and actually enjoying
life. I bet you had a past life there.
It's entirely possible.
That's what I'm thinking, you know. But hey, everybody out there, just to remind you, you're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. This show, you can listen to it every Tuesday at 7 o'clock Pacific time. And we're just thrilled to have everyone with us this evening. Larry Freeland was our first guest ever. And now, Jason, our next guest is Nick Hartigan. And I think now it looks like we've got a couple people in the queue.
Yeah, I don't know who the other person is, but I think the one on top is going to be Dick Hartigan, and he's going to be kicking off our very first paranormal parody, which means, Pat, do you know what that means? That means
I think so.
That
it
means that I get to click a button for the paranormal parody intro. Are we ready for
that? I know. Let's hear that before we talk to Dick.
Yeah.
It is now time for Jason Ophir and Pat Rice to delve into paranormal parody, where nothing is sacred and nothing is real.
You know, Jason, I think that's important. That, you know, nothing is real. You know, I mean, for all we know, we could be living in an alternate universe.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm real right now. But
I know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to get Dick on and
okay.
see what he has to say, because I know he's got some amazing stuff going on.
I am unmuted.
Mr. Hardigan, is that you?
That seems a little dangerous to unmute me, my friend.
Well,
is that you, Dick?
This is 100% Dick, Pat.
Okay. Well,
you know,
we're
excited to have you
all day, okay?
You know, Dick, I didn't get to get a lot of background about your story, but, you know, where do you hail from? Where do you live?
I hail from Louisiana.
Oh, okay. Oh, I understand. Now, and I think you do have something to tell us about Bigfoot, and I understand there are Bigfoots out there. So what, again, and thank you for being on the show, Dick.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, both of you.
Plain and simple,
Bigfoot, he spooned me.
Excuse me?
What?
He spooned me.
How do you spoon with Bigfoot?
Oh, well, to make a long story even longer, I was out hunting one time. No big deal. I was hunting by myself. It got late. I set up my tent, and I laid down to go to sleep. I've always liked the big Amazon hairy type, so I was in half dream, half sleep, half whatever. And, this arm goes around me, and I feel this breathing on the back of my neck, nothing big. And basically, I got intimate with Bigfoot. He spooned me.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, okay. I'm sorry, I'm a little taken aback.
Are you laughing at me, Jason?
No.
You know, I've interviewed a dozen people on Bigfoot, and I can honestly say that this is the first time that somebody has said they've ever spooned Bigfoot.
Hold on.
He
spooned me.
Okay, well, that's the first time I've ever heard that sort of thing. So I'm sorry if it was offensive, because it's just I'm kind of in shock right now about the whole thing.
Well, it wasn't offensive to me. I mean, at first, I was a little shocked. I was a little startled. And then when I turned and looked, thinking, oh, there's my wife, and our eyes locked, he spooned me. Yeah.
Okay, well, so Dick, and just for, if you're just tuning
you can call me Little Dick.
Oh, okay. Well, we have Dick Hardigan on the line from
Louisiana.
My
dad is Big Dick, and I'm Little Dick.
Okay, well.
Would you like us to call you Richard instead?
Oh, no, that's fine.
So.
That's fine.
I wanted to, I understand, you know, you were hunting, and then you set up your tent, and you had this experience with Bigfoot. So then, after this happened, did Bigfoot then run away, or was he hanging out with you? What happened? I mean, were you friends after this?
Well, in all reality, at first, like I said, I was a little scared, and then I kind of got used to it, and then I kind of liked it. And now I'm a Bigfoot hunter. I'm in the hunt for Bigfoot because once you go squatch, you don't go back. You know what I'm saying?
Wait. If you like spooning
so.
Bigfoot, why would you hunt Bigfoot? I mean, isn't that kind of like contradictory?
You mean kill Bigfoot?
Oh, no. I'd never kill Bigfoot.
Oh, you
I'd
mean
love
to find him. Oh, okay.
I mean, there's people who love Bigfoot, but I love Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
So I got to ask, Dick, now you said, so this Bigfoot came, he spooned you, very clear that you did not spoon him. Now,
we got to clear something real quick here, though. I don't really know if it was a guy or girl.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a male or female Bigfoot.
But I don't think it matters, does it?
Well, yeah, to me it does.
Well, Now, what you guys, I think for purposes tonight, it doesn't matter. I mean, because obviously Dick doesn't know if it was a girl or a boy. So,
right, right.
And his tent. Now,
spooning me.
I've heard that Bigfoot doesn't smell very good.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That all depends on what you think smells bad. If you smelt my wife,
yeah,
you might.
Okay.
Never mind.
Wait, okay, did your wife know about this? I gotta know.
Oh, well, ever since the, how do we say, the spooning, the great spooning of 1992, let's just say, I couldn't perform anymore. So there came a point where I had to have her. Well, I brought home this costume. It was, I got it at Halloween.
Oh,
one of those chewy Chewbacca things. And everything's cool again. So she wondered. She wondered. She's like, why do I have to dress up like Chewy Chewbacca and, in order to get you aroused? And
I can't do Chewbacca, sorry.
Well, she does it very well. And everything's okay now.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's not get into too many details, Dick. Now, there is a question in the chat room. We have a chat room, Dick, where people ask questions. I hope that's okay with you. I don't know if you completely understand, you know, the technology of a chat room, but a question has come up. Have you thought about, you know, I know you have a wife, but maybe taking a second, and maybe it would be Sasquatch or the Bigfoot?
I don't know, maybe shaved. That's a very good question. But see, I know my wife's a female. What happened to me in the forest could have been anything, but I like it.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, so after the encounter, have you seen this Bigfoot again?
No, that's the reason I'm hunting it. I want to find it, and I want to show it true romance. Maybe take it to dinner, dine it, go to a movie.
Well, wait a minute, though. You could not take a Bigfoot dining or to a movie.
Long walks on the beach. Just imagine.
Maybe McDonald's.
Yeah, but come on, you guys. What would happen? Everybody would run up and try to, you know, capture the Bigfoot.
It's Louisiana. I bet you could get away with it.
You could get away with it.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Everybody
okay,
looks
so,
like Bigfoot down here.
Now, Dick, would you say that you're obsessed with finding Bigfoot now? Because you have this experience and...
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay.
I don't just like Bigfoot. I love Bigfoot. I want Bigfoot. That's all I think about. Bigfoot.
Okay.
He spooned me.
Okay.
Or she spooned me. It spooned me.
Well, now, was there any language? Now, I know you said the arm kind of went around you and you had this experience, but did you feel any communication, like verbally, or was it just all sort of physical?
It said, huh, and I said, huh, and that was pretty much it as far as verbal.
Okay, okay.
Was it just spooning, or was there anything else going on? I mean, so you're just out there in the woods. You get spontaneously spooned by a Bigfoot. We don't know if it was female or male. But what did you just wake up in the morning and Bigfoot was gone, or did anything else go on?
Well, that's exactly the problem. I wake up in the morning and Bigfoot's just gone. That's kind of rude. You know what I'm saying? That's like a bad date.
Well, yeah,
I'm
that's sort of like being used.
I was used by Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And now I'm going to find him, it, her, the thing. I'm going to spoon it back.
Yeah, but
you
also
heard
said
of,
that you... Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was going to say, have you ever heard of hypnagogic hallucination or sleep paralysis? Are you sure that just this wasn't just some sort of, you know, waking state hallucination
I mean, how do you know it was real? Because it seems pretty extreme.
Oh, I know it was real because I woke up a little sore in the morning, Jason.
Oh, come on, you guys. Now, let's not get into those kind of details.
What are you talking about, Pat?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, this could be kind of a family show, and I don't want, you know. So I know you're trying to share your experience, but, okay. So.
Yeah, we should probably keep it clean.
But, Dick, I'm sorry about this. I don't know if I should say I'm sorry about the experience, but it sounds like you're frustrated right now because you can't find this Bigfoot, and you know, you're out hunting Bigfoot all the time. How are you going to know if you find the right Bigfoot, the one that you love?
Are you trying to keep it real clean here?
Well, kind of.
That was awfully nice of you, Pat. I was awfully
well,
nice to you.
Do you have children?
Do I have children?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of hairy and small.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Your children are hairy and small?
Yeah, hairy and small. They'll be big someday. But how will I know when it's the right Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's kind of like Match.com. You'll just know. You know what I mean?
I think so. Jason, have you ever experienced something like that where you just know?
No. I've never been spooned by a Bigfoot. I'm kind of speechless, and I'm not familiar with Match.com.
I kind of imagine our next encounter, it'll be like slow motion. You know what I mean? I can picture it now, going through the forest, looking across that long, long hill, eyes lock again. We'll know it's the right Bigfoot.
Well, I guess that's, you know, Mr. Dickman, Hartman, I guess that's the only way you're going to know, because Bigfoots, at least what I know about Bigfoots, they all look the same.
So you're going to have to have some kind of feeling. Are
you going to have a life like Harry and the Hendersons? Somebody in chat mentioned Harry and the Hendersons. Is that what you see, is going out, finding this rogue spooning Bigfoot, and then maybe bringing it back to civilization and having kind of a relationship with it, you know, while you remain married to your spouse? What's the end game here? What are you hoping to accomplish by reconnecting with this Bigfoot?
Well, I don't know. Everything you just said sounded so romantic, though. Reconnecting with Bigfoot. Oh, imagining the possibilities. There's nothing like it. But what with the end game? Yeah, absolutely. Harry and the Hendersons. I'm hoping my wife will accept it if I ever find it and bring it to the house. I have to get a bigger bed, though.
Now, Dick, it sounds like you're kind of a romantic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I buy flowers, a box of chocolates, you know.
Well, you know, so this is kind of making sense, you know, that you had, you know, there you were out in the great wild. You were hunting.
Getting stoned. Yeah.
Yeah, in your tent, and... You know, you have this experience in the, you know, under the stars.
Beautiful
and,
hairy arm.
Yeah, I guess I'm not saying I'm a Bigfoot expert, but I just have never heard of anything like this happening.
Well, I've been in love with hairy women ever since I lived up in Seattle for a while. There's a lot of hairy women up there. So it just kind of...
You lived in Seattle for a while. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. They never shave up there. It was like Bigfoots everywhere. Not like this one, though.
But, Dick, I think you're kind of getting this mixed up a little bit. A Bigfoot, from what we know about Bigfoots, you know, they're like a very large, almost like an ape-like creature that, you know, has hair all over their body.
Oh, stop
are
the
you
tree.
Sure?
You're really turning me on right now. Keep talking. Keep talking.
Well, that was
I didn't know this was a 1-900 number I just called, but keep going,
well,
baby.
Mr. Hartman, that is, come on now. You're getting out of hand here.
Hey, Dick,
I'm getting out of hand.
Dick, I don't want to make you upset, but I think you should know something. I don't know if you keep up on current events, but because you have this spooning relationship with this Bigfoot, there has been a gentleman that has claimed that he shot a Bigfoot and he has the body. Now, I don't want to alarm you, but, you know, there's a possibility that this could have been that Bigfoot and your hunting will be for nothing if it was, that, in fact, the one that was shot.
Well, now, I'm definitely not into necrophiliacs. I guess I wouldn't be hunting for that one. I hope it's not the same one. That would be awfully sad. I'll have to hunt him down.
Oh. Wow.
I'll have to,
wow.
Do you have pictures of that bear, Bigfoot?
I think in December it's going to go public, so you might want to stay tuned to that, see if it's actually your spooning Bigfoot.
No, if it's Ginger. I call it,
oh,
I,
you have a
I
name
call
for
it,
it
Ginger. Yeah, oh. I call it Ginger.
But you don't know
okay.
if it's male or female.
No,
well,
but Ginger
can kind of, be a man's name, Jason.
It can? I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Really?
I just call it Ginger because that's a type of spice, and this Bigfoot is spicy.
Oh, okay, so not stinky, but spicy.
Right, absolutely, ginger-esque.
Okay, I was gonna
call it allspice, but that's just too many spices combined. You know, a little confusion. Yeah.
Well,
I like spices, though.
Well, you know, that's interesting because in some of my history of talking with other, you know, folks that have been tracking Bigfoot, Dick, they have claimed that there is a smell about Bigfoot, but they didn't describe it as ginger. They
well,
yeah.
What do they describe it as?
Well, it was more like stinky, you know, and smelly. And, you know, like if you think about, you know, we humans, we take a shower, you know, every day where, you know, Bigfoot is more like an animal that...
Oh, keep talking, Patrice. Keep talking.
Well,
like an animal.
Yeah, not a
and
good
they
smell.
Probably, you know, maybe they don't, you know, regularly bathe, you know, but...
Who
anyway,
does?
I guess,
I'm down in Louisiana, my dear. What are you
I
talking
keep forgetting
about,
that.
Babe?
Well, you know, I guess, I mean, Jason, have you ever spent any time in Louisiana? I've been there, but I haven't been way, way down in the swamps and the forests. So I guess that's a different world there.
Yeah, I haven't been down south. But we have a question in the chat room, and that is, what do you think that your spooning Bigfoot eats? And then I'd also like to know, if you find this Bigfoot and you take it back to civilization, what restaurant are you going to go to? Is it going to be like, you know, Spago's or some really fancy place? Or
McDonald's or what? Yeah.
Nah.
Walmart?
I was thinking
cafeteria?
More like, I don't know. I was thinking more like TGIF or something like that. You know.
Oh
that,
I need
that,
a lot of stuff
fancy.
On the menu. I think Bigfoot's first big meal just needs to have a lot of choice. Maybe even go to Las Vegas, maybe a buffet. That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Personally,
well,
I thought Bigfoot's breath, when Bigfoot was, you know, in the tent, arm over me, you know, and I looked over and we had that eye-to-eye contact, I just handed him some beef jerky because I saw it on commercials, and he seemed to like it.
Oh, that's right. I think I did see a commercial about Bigfoot.
I know.
Yeah.
It was like
beef
a jerky or a...
It's the first thing I saw. We locked eyes. The first thing I looked at him and I go, jerky? And that was it.
Nothing like sharing a lunch or a meal, you know?
In bed, of all places, Pat.
Well...
A midnight snack.
That was like me giving breakfast in bed, right there.
Okay. Well, I guess your idea of breakfast in bed is different than mine, but that's okay. You know, we all have our different opinions, and it sounds like it was just a very, very, life-changing experience for you, Dick.
Absolutely. My life has been changed forever. All I can think about is Bigfoot and spooning. You know? That's it.
Yeah.
We have another question in the chat room, and a listener would like to know if at any time during the spooning did this Bigfoot, and you mentioned that he communicated with you a grunt, but I wanted to clarify that he did not call you Han Solo at any time.
No, not Han Solo. No, not at all. Maybe a little Luke here and there, but nothing big. I think that's where the confusion came in at first, is because I really like Star Wars movies, and, you know, in the past, me and my wife, we fall asleep watching Star Wars movies, so it was kind of natural, you know, to have a hairy arm laying over me and Chewbacca in the background. So when it all combined into one fantastic dream that became reality, there goes my total lust for Bigfoot all in one.
Wow.
There's another question in chat, and it's one that you kind of covered earlier, but if you could reiterate to our listeners what Bigfoot said to you exactly. You had mentioned it
you
earlier.
Want it?
That it
Bigfoot,
yeah,
you, man. I can do that backwards if you want.
Yeah. There you have it. There you have it,
that
everybody.
Yeah.
Oh.
That other one was backwards. Hopefully it didn't say anything satanic in it when I did that backwards.
But you know what? It was a communication that our guest here on the show, Dick Hartigan, he understood it was a communication from the Sasquatch Bigfoot to him. So we have to respect that, everyone.
Yeah.
We really
show
do.
A little love. Show a little love like I do. That's right. That's right.
You know, love comes in different forms. Let's face it.
It does. Big ones and small ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, Jason, we're running out of time here. And
yes, we are.
I tell you, we've had a great show this evening. Mr. Dickman, Hartigan. Sorry.
Dickman.
Okay.
Who is this Dickman?
Well, I just got confused. I'm sorry. But we had Larry Freeland on earlier. Our first guest has made. And you might want to check out that movie, Dick. It's called Mountain Duel, and it's about Bigfoot. So I think that you should, you know, check it out.
I love Mountain Dew.
Now, Duel. D-U-E-L.
Yeah, Mountain Duel.
So you're saying that Bigfoot likes Mountain Dew and beef jerky?
Well, he might like Mountain Dew, but I'm saying that Bigfoot was the star. Bigfoot is a star in a movie called Mountain Duel, D-U-E-L. And you can go
to somebody already found Bigfoot and cast
in
a movie?
Well, yeah, in California, he's in a movie.
We are seriously running out of time, Dick, so we're going to have to let you go. We're going to have you come back on in the future because we've got to hear more about this.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Dick Hartigan.
It is
no
problem,
you,
Pat and Jason.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night. Good luck on your hunt for Bigfoot.
All right. Thank you.
Jason.
Thank
Jason, thank you for having me on the show. We are going to get cut off here. Great show.
Yep.
Everybody tune in
awesome.
Next week, 7 o'clock.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. Everybody have a good evening. And Log Talk Radio, Paranormal Horizon, 7 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday Pacific time. Look for the archive show on blogtalkradio.com. Good night, Jason.